In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, you sent the apostles out 2,000 years ago to all nations. Saint Matthew relates that great mission that you gave them. He says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the close of the age.'" And if we put ourselves in their place, what would they have thought and felt? Lord, they had accompanied you for those 3 years. They had seen you do miracles. They had seen you teach with authority, not like their own teachers. They were delighted to follow you. But now you were leaving them alone, and you were telling them to go out and to all nations. They were from Galilee. They spoke Aramaic, perhaps some a little Greek or even Latin. But how are they going to go out to all of those different countries and teach as you had taught them? They must have felt overwhelmed. But they had the assistance of the Holy Spirit who came down on them on Pentecost, and they had that willpower, that fortitude, which is the topic of our prayer today. They were not daunted by the obstacles, and you had warned them about the obstacles in the Last Supper. You had told them, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. You are not of the world. You are not worldly. If we were worldly, then the world would love us. We are like so many others. But if we have a different set of values, then we will not be worldly. We will be godly. And we can help this world. We can be the salt, the light, the leaven that you want us to be." And you went on, "Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all this they will do to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me." And Lord, they encountered all of that. They were persecuted, and all but St. John died a martyr. But also, many kept your word. They became your followers. They became the first Christians. And thank God for the fortitude that those apostles had to go out to all nations. Thomas as far as India, Mark to Egypt, Peter to Rome, St. James to Spain. They went out and they had to learn new languages. And it was difficult for them, as we see in the letters of St. Paul, the obstacles that he encountered. But they had that willpower and that love for you to go out and make a great difference. St. Paul writes to Timothy about the difficulties that he would encounter. He says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Lord, today we are those apostles, and you send us out. You send all the baptized out to live our faith to the full, to be that light that others are drawn to, and that salt that gives flavor, that changes this society. And when we look at the environment around us, we see the need for it to change, for people to lead better lives, for people to find God, to find meaning in their life. And Lord, we are your apostles to help them to find it. But we need this steadfast character, this strength of will, this fortitude. Fortitude is often defined as the virtue that strengthens the will to pursue the difficult good in the face of obstacles, even to the point of death. We can read what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about it. In number 1808, we read, "Fortitude is the moral virtue that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. It strengthens the resolve to resist temptations and to overcome obstacles in the moral life. The virtue of fortitude enables one to conquer fear, even fear of death, and to face trials and persecutions. It disposes one even to renounce and sacrifice his life in defense of a just cause. The Lord is my strength and my song. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Lord, grant us that virtue. You have given it to us in our baptism. It is one of the virtues infused in our soul, but now we need to develop it as that human virtue that we will acquire and grow in through the repetition of acts that cost us. And we so need it, because we face the world, the flesh, and the devil as the obstacles. First, the world, the environment around us. And there are so many difficulties that we encounter in our world today. We turn on television, and so many programs have a low moral tone. We look at the internet, and in addition to all of the good sites that help us so much, there is the filth, there is the pornography, there is what destroys our soul. And we need the fortitude to resist looking at those bad sights. And then the attitudes of people that we encounter, the way they live, the way they speak about marriage, about sexuality, about perhaps even dishonesty or lies. This is their way in the case of so many people. And we need to set a different tone, have a different standard. And then the problems that life brings. There will be accidents. There will be setbacks in our work, setbacks perhaps in our health, the death of those near us. It is not easy to face the difficulties that life will bring, but if we have more fortitude and love for you, we can withstand those pressures. In addition to the world, the flesh, which we can consider as the effects of original sin within us. And we know those effects, that laziness, not to do what we ought to do, the pride, that exaggerated sense of self-worth, the sensuality, that desire for pleasure and comfort, when we know perhaps we should be working, then we are looking for relaxation and comfort at a time when we shouldn't be looking for it. And then our temper that we sometimes lose, with it the impatience. The flesh, the effects of original sin, are with us always. We have to fight against them independently of what is going on in the world around us. And then finally, the devil. And the devil is real, and he tempts us to sin. And so often we are weak-willed and lacking in love for God, and we give in. And all of these can be likened to the stream that we are paddling against in our canoe. We are paddling upstream. At different moments in history, in different places, the strength of that current can be greater or less. Today it is very strong. And to keep on paddling upstream requires great strength. If we stop paddling, if we give up, immediately we are going backwards. In other times, the current wasn't so strong. When I grew up in the 1940s and 50s in the United States, life was very different. Practically everybody went to Mass or to church in the case of Protestants. Marriages stayed together. Television was wholesome. Archbishop Fulton Sheen dominated the airwaves. The pill didn't exist. Drugs didn't exist. Life was much easier then. To live a good life, to live out one's faith, was much easier. Today, it is difficult. And that is why we need this virtue. And St. Jose Maria says of it in his book, Furrow, in point 416, "The Lord needs strong and courageous souls who refuse to come to terms with mediocrity, but will be able to enter all kinds of environments with a sure step." And Lord, help me, help all of us to be those strong, courageous souls who refuse to come to terms with mediocrity. In the next point, a calm and balanced character and inflexible will, deep faith and an ardent piety. These are indispensable characteristics of a son of God. And Lord, we can examine ourselves in terms of those words. Do I have a calm and balanced character? An inflexible will? Or am I weak-willed? Deep faith, trust in you, because you are our strength. And an ardent piety. And the next point, number 418, the Lord can raise children of Abraham from the very stones, but we must make sure that the stone is not crumbly. For though hard rock may be shapeless, it is easier to hew good stone for building from it. What is my stone like? Am I hard stone that one can build a building on top of, or am I weak and crumbly? We can ask ourselves, Lord, on this spectrum of people who are on one hand very strong-willed, people who make things happen, people who overcome the difficulties within themselves and in the environment around them, and are apostles who spread your light and your truth. On the other end, people who are soft, weak-willed, who can't get motivated, who are lazy, for whom everything is a problem. Where am I on that spectrum? You need us to be strong. And we might ask, how are we going to grow in fortitude so that we can be truly useful in your service? And the first answer, although it may not seem logical, is more love for you. Because the more we love you, the more we are going to follow you, to take up our cross daily and follow you, as you invited your disciples to do, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow you. And when we are tempted to sin, we will think of you looking at us with those pleading eyes that say, "Don't offend me. I love you. Love me in return. Do what I am asking of you." We will see you on the cross, suffering pain. And we will be so reluctant to pick up our cross, but seeing you there on the cross will help us. The more we love you, the closer we will be to you. And St. John relates love and fear in his first letter. He writes in the fourth chapter, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love." If we love you, we won't fear what people say. We won't fear the difficulty involved in being an apostle, in helping others to find you. But if we don't have love for you, then we will be afraid, and we will remain silent and do so little. And St. Jose Maria writes too, in the way, in the very last point, number 999, "And what is the secret of perseverance? Love. Fall in love, and you will not leave him." We don't want to leave you. Help us to fall in love, so that we are anchored in you and not swept along by the current. And then another way of growing in fortitude, and that is our self-denial. So many moments during the day when we need to deny ourselves to do what you are asking of us. And St. Paul writes of the need for this, comparing the self-denial that Christians should have with that of athletes. And athletes do deny themselves. He writes in his first letter to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pummel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." And Lord, we know what the athletes do. They live a very strict diet. They give up a lot of the foods that they would like to eat. They give up a lot of their social life. They get to bed on time. They train hard. They punish themselves in that training to win that perishable wreath at the time of St. Paul. Today, perhaps a medal, but still something perishable. Our crown is heaven, is imperishable. If the athletes know how to deny themselves for that crown that fades, Lord, help us to deny ourselves for that imperishable wreath of heaven, to strengthen our will through our acts of self-denial. Because as an advertisement some time ago for giving up smoking said, "The will is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets." How true. The more we do what costs us, what exercises our will, the stronger the will gets. And then to receive the sacraments often too, because that grace strengthens us. And along with grace, we receive that infused virtue of fortitude, of willpower that we need. And then to struggle when our fortitude, our will is tested. The first battle may be getting out of bed on time. St. Jose Maria called it the heroic minute, when the alarm goes off, when they knock on our door, to get out of bed immediately. Then we have won the first battle. if we haven't got out of bed, if we have pressed the snooze button and we stay there for some more minutes, we are weak-willed. We have lost the first battle. We are off to a bad start. And then beginning our jobs, whatever they may be, perhaps jobs in the home, beginning the laundry, beginning the ironing, folding the clothes and putting them away, beginning that meal, making the shopping list. Some jobs we don't like, but we have to do them, that we do them. Or perhaps we are working at some job outside the home, and there are some jobs there that we find easy, quite enjoyable. We do those first instead of those other jobs that we have been putting off because they are harder. Lord, in order to grow in fortitude, let us decide every day I will do one of those more difficult jobs so that the client isn't wondering why I'm not doing it. All of us have activities that we enjoy and find easy, and others that we don't particularly enjoy, but we know we should do them. Help us to identify the ones we don't like and to decide to do them, to be faithful to in our plan of spiritual activities. Perhaps we have decided, yes, I'm going to do some mental prayer each day, do some spiritual reading, go to Mass, say the rosary. But when the time comes, we don't feel particularly like it. We find some excuse, and Lord, help us not to do that. If there is one activity that we want desperately to do each day, it is spend time with you in one or another of those ways that we have just mentioned, that we have the willpower to stop and pray, to go to Mass, to say the rosary, whatever it might be. Also, to dominate our whims, our feelings. So often during the day, we are thinking, I feel like checking my emails. I feel like checking my phone. I feel like a cup of tea or coffee. I feel like taking a nap. And when we think of it, that is not what you want from us. That is not what we need to do. Let us dominate our moods, our whims, our feelings, to do what you want us to do, not what we feel like. St. Jose Maria in The Way has some very relevant points in the very first chapter, on the first page, point 4 in The Way. Don't say, that's the way I'm made, it's my character, it's your lack of character, be a man. My character, I feel like this, that's the way I'm made. It's your lack of character, be a man. And in the next point, number 5, get used to saying no. We are continually saying yes to our whims, to our feelings, when we know we shouldn't be doing that. Get used to saying no to them, to saying yes to God, yes to our duties. And then we are effective, then we get things done. And when the problems come in life, and they will come, whether it's simply a flat tire, a traffic jam, we've lost a file on our computer, we've just hurt ourselves in a fall, things are going wrong in one way or another, to have the fortitude to bear up, not to collapse under the weight of that perhaps small problem, to say this is nothing. Other people have much greater problems than I have, and to keep going. At work or whenever we are with other people, how do we react when people begin to criticize the church, to criticize the Pope, to criticize the values that we stand for? Do we cower in fear, or can we stand up for our faith? To say, frankly, I'm a Catholic, I disagree totally with you, you're offending me. Can we stand up to them? They will respect us for that. We need to be able to do this, that we carry our environment, not cave in to the environment around us, that we be the peer pressure that leads people to something higher, something better. Temptations to sin. How readily do we give in? because of our weakness of character, our weakness of will, our lack of love for God. Lord, help us to be stronger when the devil tempts us, that we don't let him win that battle, but we win that battle. And by overcoming the temptation, store up great treasure in heaven, as well as growing greatly in willpower. In this society today, we need great strength of character, great strength of will. And let us read some words of St. Thomas More, who went to his death for the faith. His son-in-law, William Roper, quotes him as saying often to his children, "It is now no merit for you children to go to heaven, for everybody gives you good counsel. Everybody gives you good example. You see virtue rewarded and vice punished, so that you are carried up to heaven even by the chins. But if you ever live in a time that no man will give you good counsel, no man will give you good example, when you see virtue punished and vice rewarded, if you will then stand fast and firmly stick to God on pain of death, if you are but half good, God will allow you for whole good." What prophetic words, because he himself would come to that time when no one would give him good counsel. They were all urging him to cave in to what Henry VIII was requesting. But he did not. He stood firm, even under pain of death. Lord, help us to have this strength of character, this strength of will, to be your light, because people are looking for it, and when they find it in us, they are drawn to it. They see the goodness, they see the integrity, they see the moral values that we espouse. They know that this is right, that the world around them is leading them away from what is right and what truly satisfies. And they will be drawn to what we have. But we must have our light shining very brightly and stand up for the faith. Then people will be drawn to you through us and in some way in spite of us. And let us finish with some words of St. Paul to Timothy. We quoted him before, and now in that same second letter, when Paul is in his second Roman imprisonment and very close to death, and he writes those familiar words that are so inspiring for us. "I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." That we be able to say that when we come to the end of our life, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith," and then we too will receive that crown of righteousness. And we ask Our Lady, Mary, you had that strength of will to stand beside the cross when your son was suffering that agony of crucifixion. You stood there for those 3 hours, suffering unspeakably. Help us to have that strength of will, that love for God that you had, so that we too can be faithful until the end. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.